Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. I'm Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom Radio and Cowboy Wisdom Visionary Vitality. I'm a hypnotherapist and NLP practitioner. Tonight, my guest is Ambika Devi. She's an author and a creative dreamer. Her backpack is filled with colored pens and a journal, a Kindle, a passport, and a deck of tarot cards. Her pockets are filled with multiple degrees and years of teaching. She is here to inspire us with a reading from her first novel, Lilith, published by Inkwell Productions. Ambika is going to be here in a few minutes, but I want to send prayers and good wishes to one of the towns I grew up in. It's Weston Springs, South Dakota. My cousin's house got blown away, and they had a tornado last night, and they had severe damages. It's a quiet little town in the foothills, in the Weston Springs foothills, and the people there, it's a farming community, and the people there are very friendly and very open to strangers, and I just want to send prayers to them. And Ambika is a very well-rounded teacher of spiritual energy, tarot, but she has a gift to expand your life. And as we go through the show tonight, you're going to find out and listen and hear ways for you to expand your life. And that's what this show, Cowboy Wisdom Radio, is about. It's about expanding the world and allowing people a place to come to expand their wisdom and vitality, to understand it's their dreams. And with Ambika and tonight's guest, we're going to show you and introduce you to some different things. And her book, Lilith, that's available on Amazon.com and on her website. I'm going to spell it, CHICADELASESTRELLAS.com. And it's a very lively book with lots of colors, the Southwest purple, but it's a very soothing book. And we're just waiting for Ambika to come on, and we're going to have us a little, we're going to expand your wisdom to expand your life. And you can go to her website. It's Chickadel Australius. I didn't do well on that, and I can tell you that straight up. But she's an astrologer and a tarologist also. So anyway, but the world today, something I've expanded into, and I'll talk about this until Ambika appears off. How do we get to thinking we try to be too perfect and it actually ends up shutting down our innovative process? Because sometimes innovation, creativity, any word you choose to use, we really kind of get into a fearful place where we never, ever want to move forward because we're afraid to make a mistake. And there's no such thing as a mistake. That's just an intake of new wisdom that's coming in. And as we do this, and if you look at the world today, everybody thinks their way is the perfect way. And I've had a real good education on that the last 2 days myself in something that I've done, and I've been giggling and kind of just really being open to it and realizing I've been talking about in my writings and stuff about being right, know-it-all. Well, I got that lesson pointed out to me. I've been getting it for about 4 months, but I really understand it today because it was presented to me, showed me, and handed to me. And some of it wasn't so savory. But right now, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me because I took it as a life-expanding lesson. And see, that's all life is about, is expanding. And we try to live so hard through memory, we forget there's a whole new world out there that's in front of us. And so as we move forward, we become engaged and engulfed. We get engulfed in the old because it's something we know and understand. And I'm because be here, I think that's her right now.
Actually, I am. Hi, Rob. Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm great. I would like to also say regarding my book, which thank you so much for the introduction of me and my book, Lilith. The book is published on Inkwell Productions, and aside from being available through my website, and actually the easiest way to find it is by the book title, which is Lilith, L-I-L-I-T-H, and then novel.com. So you can find it at www.lilithnovel.com. And you can also search and find the page on Facebook the same way. So facebook.lilithnovel. And that will take you right there. So you can visit the page and click and like it. And if you want to find me and follow me on Twitter, I'm at Ambika Devi Ma, so that's AmbikaDevima on Twitter.
Ambika, I want you, if I was going to, let's say I was just open the book to read it, what do you feel that would expand me most about the book that when I read it?
Oh, my goodness. The entire book, my intention with the whole entire book is that I embedded teachings that I have absorbed all my life, Rob, through gurus and wise teachers, college professors, because I'm an extreme educationaholic or schoolaholic in my life. I have also been in school pretty much all my life. I think, you know, everybody that's read it so far or that's in the process of reading it comes to me and tells me, I have learned so much about myself. And then they want to know also, are these stories that I'm reading in here, are these about you? Is this character you? And the answer to that is yes. Not only is Lilith based on me, but all the characters have aspects of me in them. So I was told several years back when I embarked on the idea of turning what was then a grouping of essays into a novel, because my writing coach, who is also my publisher, suggested that I create a novel for my first book. When I was researching, you know, writing your first novel, I realized that everybody's first novel is really about themselves.
And, you know, the thing about it is, when somebody's reading and they actually feel that it, the person that wrote it actually experienced it, how do you feel that really engages them and expands their life more than somebody did it out of, just out of nowhere? You know what
well,
I'm saying?
Well, I do. I understand that, but it's not a self-help book. What this is, there's a genre of fiction that is typed as either spiritual fiction or New Age fiction. And then there's kind of crossover books that would probably end up on either the self-help shelf or maybe not the fiction shelf, but self-help or New Age, like The Four Agreements. Are you familiar with that book, Rob?
Yes, I am, very much.
Right.
I've listened
so in
to
The
that
Four
CD
Agreements,
till I wore it out.
Yeah, I've done the same and give copies away. There's many books that come in my life that I do that with, where I read them and then I give them away and then I buy them and read them again, or I keep several on hand or hunt them down in the used bookstore. One thing I really love about his book, about Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements, is that he really tells stories from his life. And so that definitely inspired me. And then there's Paulo Coelho's book, The Alchemist, where he took spiritual teachings and learnings and findings from his life and transformed them into a novel. So there's, you know, and then there's people like Kurt Vonnegut or Tom Robbins, whose books really do end up in fiction on that shelf, but they do have a lot of spiritual messaging in them. And these are the books that inspire me.
Yeah, you know, you said something, but here's something that I got a friend. She writes young adult and a lot of fiction. There is a lot of history and facts in fiction books that actually allow people to take the journey without being attached to the journey. Do you feel that?
Definitely. Definitely. Go ahead.
Now, being unattached to it, that's what I mean is life expanding to me. When you're unattached and you're free to, you know, you're free on the inner, in your inner work, inner apparatus, that allows you to expand. And that's what I'm hearing from your book, Lilith, that it frees the inner apparatus and allows them to let go and actually feel free and expanding who they are. Do you feel that?
I do, I hope.
No, it sounds like you do. And see, I use the word expand because it's freeing and unattached. That's why I like that word. But there's something I've been reading on your website here. It's the Vak Yogini. Did I pronounce that right?
Vak Yoga is the topic of my PhD dissertation research that I'm doing right now. My master's degree that I completed in 2012 is in yoga. And at the time, I was then taken on by the gentleman that was my advisor during my master's program. And he began his own university, and I wanted to continue study with him. And so when his university then accredited, he invited me to challenge for my dissertation as a PhD student. That overlapped with the end of my master's. I had finished my master's thesis, and actually the master's thesis is an underlying structure of Lilith. My master's thesis is on the relationship of the divine masculine, the divine feminine, and the powerful force, the magnetic force that irresistibly brings them together. So it's about relationship and can be related to all forms of relationship, the human relationship of love, and also our relationship.
Now you're talking about two of my favorite things right there. But here's the, now this question comes to me, Ambika.
Mm-hmm.
How is the relationship everybody's that has the biggest challenge, relationship challenge people face is having a relationship of dharma with themselves, do you feel?
Well, dharma, the word dharma is what we came to be. So that's pretty vast and what I would call a chunked up concept. And what I believe is we must find our relationship to the divine essence, to the spiritual energy that's inside all of us, inside every molecule, that invisible force that causes us to go forward. And when we realize that, and this is coming from a very yogic point of view, when we see that, and you use the phrase or the word unattached, when we realize that we are not the doer and that there is this invisible force that is what I believe many of the religions have named God, and I don't have a problem using the G word, but what I hope people will find by reading this story which is a story of a guy meeting a girl, you know, on the streets of Philadelphia. So what I'm hoping people come away with is realizing that everything in this book that I just put out is a metaphor, just like a myth, and that it's really about this, the force of nature, which is the divine feminine, the invisible container, which is the divine masculine, and that magnetic force, which in Sanskritam we say pranashakti, the powerful force that is part of that divine feminine, the creative force that brings it together or magnetically attracts it and irresistibly bonds it.
There is the word, oh, to me, yes. Uh-huh. But you said something there, the feminine and the masculine. How is that the bonding of them in an individual or in yourself, actually you're bonding yourself to the divine in the cosmos?
Yes, that's exactly it.
And you know, because the thing that my male, I've learned more about the male ego in the last 6 years than I really, really, but I have to really say something about the male ego or the masculine ego. It's probably one of your greatest assets and one of your biggest challenges to overcome and understand. Do you feel that?
Well, I wouldn't just blame it on male. I mean, unless you're calling the ego, just the aspect of the ego, a masculine force. But the ego, to me, is a product of the mind. I speak yoga. That's the philosophy I speak of. So
yes.
To describe these things, I'm going to use yoga philosophy. The mind is not who we are. The mind is a product. The ego is a product of the illusion of that this physical body, this flesh robe that we're wearing is who we are, and all of this physical stuff that we live with and create is important. Now, when we get into talking about renunciation, people get a little freaked out. When we talk about unattachment, people get confused, and it's because of the mind, and it's because of the ego. So let's not blame the ego and the mind on a masculine. It's because everybody has it. The thing that takes you away from that is meditation, and that's what Vak Yoga is. Vak Yoga is a yoga technique of using the voice, the sound of the voice, to induce peace and relaxation and space to meditate. It's a launch for it. There's nobody else in this country working with it. This particular style is taught to me by my teacher. And if you go and look on the web for VAK, you'll find a little bit, which is how you spell Vak in English. You'll find some YouTube videos where the word is discussed, but most of it is just a little bit I've posted via blog and webpage about it, because it's not going to be released. We don't want it to be a brand. We don't want people to take it and try and stylize it and make their own version, which is what happens with a lot of the yoga technique. Everybody's trying to brand it, make their business cool. This is a sacred mystery school teaching. And it's in these mystery schools, these ancient mystery schools, where the teaching happened through singing and telling stories. And that's what I wanted to do with Lilith, was tell one of those juicy stories, but a long one, where many things are explained, and to use some pop culture imagery in order to get my point across so I could involve a wider audience. because if I had done it in a self-help book, that would have just, like, you know, taken that, coned that into such a tiny audience. But with a novel, there's a greater possibility to reach many, many more people.
And did you know there's professional football linemen taking yoga?
I'm sorry, what
I
is
don't
it?
Know. And, you know, professional football players, offensive linemen,
uh-huh.
they're starting to do yoga.
Well, you know, yoga, here's a misconception of yoga. People believe that yoga is about being a Gumby kind of bendy person and stretchy pants. And yoga is to relax the body so it can sit in a comfortable position so it can meditate. So that's what the whole physical posture thing is about. The original postures prior to these modern ones, because what's being practiced in gyms and yoga studios, this is actually a very modern take. The original postures were based on dance postures and that expressed facets of divinity so that we would be in those postures of divinity and also expression of emotions, so we would learn to identify and become in control so that we could then detach from these emotions and then release and step back. You see, when we get into a meditative state, we have to cross a bridge. That bridge in Sanskrit is called Pratyahara. And that's where we release from being the doer and watch. We become the witness, the witness state. And then we realize, I am not the doer. God, that energy, that divine energy, now it's called Shiva. But a lot of people even have a misconception what the word Shiva means. Sure, I mean, there's religions that take these concepts and then make idols, and there's all kinds of myths and stories, but you got to realize every time you look at one of these images that they possess many, many stories just within the image, because they are about natural forces. They're about nature, and they're about our relationship to the cosmos.
You know, you said something in there. You said the word energy. Isn't
mm-hmm.
everything just energy in some form of another?
Absolutely, and that's what Shiva means. Shiva is primordial energy and force, definitely. So that's what that concept means.
Now, you said something a little earlier about the mind. Isn't that the biggest, well, to me, and it may be off base, and I'm going to say it, but the mind is the biggest challenge the world faces today to get back into a more, I want to call it peaceful energy, because we're
mm-hmm.
so caught up into the mind energy of being, you know. And how do you feel about that?
I'm in full agreement.
When we
get in touch with this, when we are able to witness it and identify what's really going on, then we can easily find peace and acceptance with each other. You know, as a working psychic and alternative life coach, come to me every single day asking me about relationships, soulmate, this one, that one, my ex, the future one that's yet to come. And it's everything I can do to keep from giggling, because we're all connected. I think this is a product of the ego mind to think that there's such a thing of us as a soulmate. How ridiculous. We're all soulmates. We are all connected by one big web of energy. And therefore, how ridiculous to say, who's the one for me? Everybody's the one for you. That's why at different times in your life you've manifested different ones, because those that came to you provided you with specific lessons and blessings for that time. And when we're done with the lessons and blessings, we move on.
If you just heard that and really adhered to that, that is the greatest wisdom you've ever been presented, is what Ambika just said to you. Because that's the thing. Don't you feel we try to me, Ambika, the inner cities and where people grow up are just prisons with roads through it because they're afraid to go beyond it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I agree. You know, I grew up in South Dakota. If you want to see it, it's right there. But, you know, that's something we've been talking about is the mind. And I've really been writing a lot about that. But, you know, if you can take the word mind out and use the word stimulation,
mm-hmm.
it really expands our inspiration, stimulates, but something that alleviates the attachment to the mind. Do you feel that?
I do. And see, this is why it's so important for us to meditate and to find a viable means of meditation, because the mind gets really busy and it gets really full. So if we look at it, Robin, in terms of computers, our mind is like a big computer. And we take in all of the stimulus every day, but with our computers, we'll clear cache, we'll clear cookies, we'll get rid of plugins, we'll defrag, we'll clean disks, we'll clear out viruses. What do we do for our mind? That's what meditation is. Meditation is the way to clear and scan the disk and reset to default. So by practicing even just a little bit every day, we find our way to more happiness. And naturally, things will shift in your life because you'll be practicing getting out of your own way. And the more you practice it, the more it becomes the way you are. And you don't have to do anything. But society sets us up. You know, it trips us up to believe that we have to do, we have to think, we have to do this way. And so how do we survive if we're just floating around, you know, la, la, la. But you actually can. This is what the yogic teachings that say, wake up, because this is one of the things we have to wake up to, and get out of your own way by meditation. But I understand, because it's not easy to meditate. There's three levels of meditation. One is physical relaxation. Exercising. You know, people say they run and they get in a meditative state, or even walking, or many, many other forms, you know, weightlifting, swimming. If you ask any athlete, they, especially the winning athletes that win in the big competitions, they'll say, it was as if I was outside myself and I was watching. Aha! That's the meditihara, getting outside yourself. But how do we do that? So maybe you go to yoga class or you go to some sort of exercise class, and every once in a while afterwards you get in that place and you relax. So that's that first level of meditation. It, viable, by all means. But then the next level, the creative visualization takes you there, integrative relaxation, where the body is relaxed and the mind is fully aware. So this is where people are talking. This is the realm where hypnosis fits in, because this is making suggestions and leading you and dipping you in and out through brainwaves and taking you into that place, if we want to talk technically about brainwaves, between the alpha, which is awake, aware, and happy, and theta, which is deep, where you're gone. But there's a space between alpha and theta where you can dip into that state, but it's difficult to balance there because you're either dragged down into theta where you start snoring and sleeping, or you're in alpha and it's difficult to remain still and comfortable because you're more awake and aware. So that's what this whole trend of yoga nidra is. The word nidra means sleep. So yoga nidra means yoga like sleep. So that's that middle ground of meditation. Then there's deep trance state meditation. Well, this is more difficult to achieve by some of the methods that are just sit down and do it, sit down and do it. This can be very tiring, very difficult, very frustrating. So what I've been researching for the last 3 years, because I began the research right when I finished my master's thesis, but before I received my title, I had a good year in there and research before I got those papers. And so this has been going on now for several years. So with Vak Yoga, what I'm finding is I teach a method just by a very simple breath. Again, you know, breathing exercises can be daunting and difficult. And people don't like to do things that are daunting and difficult. They're not going to come back to it again and again. We like easy. We like simple. And we're not going to keep returning to something unless we get a full bodily felt sensation. That's when we believe things. It's that same feeling we had when we were little kids. We would ask every adult, but the one that we would go to and we would believe would be the ones that would give us that sense, usually our mom or dad, because we would get a full bodily sense of trust for them because of our bond with them. So this is something that's very human. We have to believe and trust. So we're not going to believe a technique works unless we feel it, because that is our true state of being, feeling and being. And this is where I'm watching over and over and over and over again Vak Yoga working. And I do teach it. I teach it over the phone. I teach it over the internet. And I work with people one-on-one. And it's amazing. I mean, I've definitely done workshops as well. But it's mind-boggling to watch this simple technique take effect in a 10-minute demonstration of me explaining it and leading people through a little process. And boom, they drift into this deep trance state of meditation. I've seen beginners stay deep for 10 minutes, sitting in a seated position. It's amazing to me. And then seasoned meditators who have done many styles, maybe a lot of chanting or a lot of yoga, they go even deeper for longer. And I have experimented with some of them where I've gone right up to them and shouted or made loud noises, and they don't move. They are launched. So I'm very into my research right now and the teaching of it at this level.
And you can go to Ambika's website, and look, I want to point something out. Ambika has just opened a new pathway for you to be at peace with yourself, and that's where the peace with the world starts. But her website is chicadelasestrellas.com, and I'm going to spell that for you. chicadelasestrellas.com. And you can find her on Facebook. How was that again?
You can find me also on my website. I have many doors into my website. So an easier way may be just with my name, Ambika Devi, AmbikaDevi.com. And that is my name on Facebook for my main profile. And you can find me through com/Lilith Novel. I have a bunch of pages on Facebook. And if you go to AmbikaDevi.com and float around the website, you'll find many places to click to find me on Facebook. So, and then on Twitter, you can find me at Ambika Devi Ma, AmbikaDevima. And I'd like to just pronounce my website.
Rob, I would love to have you do that.
Yes, Chica de las Estrellas, which means girl of the stars in Spanish. I used to write astrology for a Spanglish newspaper, and it's been my website and my email for so long, I just never changed it. The name Ambika Devi is very popular in the East. And so I'm not going to get that as an email address, so I just let it go. Hopefully when I get doctor before my name, I'll be able to get Dr. Ambika Devi. But Gmail won't give that to me just yet. And then I'll probably change some of the other. But
you got to say your website again, because that is
I will. My website is www.chicadelasestrellas.com. It's C-H-I-C-A-D-E-L-A-S as in Sam, E-S as in Sam, T-R-E-L-L-A-S.com. Chica de las Estrellas. That means girl of the stars. Because I'm an astrologer. Actually, I've been writing the new moon astrology for next week. And it's really interesting because I'm seeing some conversations online the last couple days about dreams. And indeed, if everybody's having stronger dreams right now, it's because of the movement of the planet of dreams, which is Neptune. Neptune rules the house of dreams. And this is a great time for dreaming. And right after this new moon coming up, it's going to get even more intense. So I love dreams. Actually, on my radio show tomorrow, can I plug my show?
Sure.
Yeah, my radio show tomorrow. I have a Friday radio show every Friday at 4 p.m. on Lifescape Radio, and my show is called The Rowdy Readers. We get super rowdy. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about dreams. And encouraging our callers to call in with dream fragments, and we will give feedback. Even though it's called dream analysis, I like to just let the dreamers figure it out for themselves. It's so much more potent that way if they do than if I give solutions. Because the whole reason they dreamt it is so that they'll figure it out.
You know, that's the truest. You show them, that's it. You know, too many people in the spiritual and the coaching world try to tell people. But like mm-hmm. you just said, you let them find the way.
Mm-hmm.
They become more self-confident and willing to step forward.
Right, especially with, when people come to me with recurring dreams. Well, the reason why it's recurring is because you didn't get it the first time. So it's even more important with a recurring dream that we don't say to somebody, this is what it means. So no disrespect to the dream journals, because sometimes they can help trigger a realization. So when you have an image in your dream and you are absolutely flummoxed by it, well, then by all means, look it up and see what it says. But the thing is, dreams are your psyche, your unconscious mind speaking to you. So who am I to tell you what a green door means to you? You know, I know what it means to me, or a rose. I saw a conversation about roses today and dreaming about roses and correlating it with something about a current energy about roses, and I think we can get a little caught up in that, whereas really we have to ask ourselves, what does this mean to me?
And that's very true, because the way I interpret or you interpret somebody's dreams doesn't really do anything for anybody.
Right.
So, and anyway, Ambika, we're out of time, and I want to thank Ambika Devi for being here, and her book, Lilith, and it's on, what's the website for Lilith again?
www.lilithnovel.com, LILITHNOVEL.com.
And by Inkwell Productions. And I want to thank you, Ambika, and all the listeners, and we will be here next Tuesday and Thursday again, and thank you, Ambika, and all the listeners.
Thank you so much, Rob. It's always a pleasure, and I'm happy to come back anytime you invite me.
I'm really got to be honest with everybody. Ambika shows you the way, and when you open your own eyes, you'll see the way.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
All righty, and good night, everybody.